When Emmanuel Macron was elected president of France last May, his victory was a clear rejection of the extreme right and its candidate, Marine Le Pen. As a relative newcomer, Macron was also seen as a breath of fresh air in French politics. And when his party went on to win a majority in parliament, it brought more political newbies to power. And yet, when it comes to talking about race, activists say they're up against the same old historic French problems with Macron's government. Rokaya Diallo is a French journalist and filmmaker. Her parents are from Senegal and the Gambia. She describes herself as an activist fighting for racial, gender, and religious equality. And last year, she came very close to being an advisor to Macron's government. So, Rokaya, thanks for being here. You were appointed to a digital advisory panel, which was supposed to help the current administration of Macron develop policy on a more inclusive digital future. But then in December, that fell apart. Can you tell us what happened?
Sure, thank you for inviting me. Actually, I was appointed, but from the point when my appointment was made public, some people started to protest over Twitter and the internet to say that my opinions against racism, especially tackling state-sponsored racism, were not acceptable. So the government actually decided to evict me from the council because they didn't want to have protests against my positions on the space that is allowed for Muslims and also what I was saying about how the French state can produce racism.
Yeah, what had you said on Twitter? Briefly tell us that so offended people.
It was not only on Twitter, it was my interviews, the books I've written. I've said basically that there was police brutality in France and you have identity checked in the streets, you know, every day. And if you are black or Arab, you are 20 times more likely to be checked than if you belong to any other categories. And the other thing is that I am a supporter of women who wear the hijab, meaning that I don't support them wearing the hijab, but I support their choice. So my opinion is that every woman should do whatever she wants to do with her body, including wearing a hijab. And that opinion was something negative, according to the people who protested against the fact that I was appointed on this board.
So you were pushed out of that panel. What does it say to you about the French government and French society that you were pushed out and that most of the 30-member panel had your back?
Actually, yes. So the minister in charge of digital asked to the head of the council to remove me, and she did not accept. She resigned, and almost everyone in the board resigned in support of what she decided. The thing to me, it says that you said in your introduction that thanks to Emmanuel Macron, many people of color and young people were elected in the Congress. But that means to me that even if you have more popular people of color in the Congress, they are still not allowed to say whatever they want to do about race. So you're okay to be there as long as you don't, you know, you're not too vocal on race issues. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was not allowed to say everything I wanted to say on race because it's still a taboo in France.
Explain that to us, because I don't even quite understand what it means that the French government forbids talking about race.
I think that France still sees itself as a white country. So we're not really used to speak about race. And it's not an issue that people are really comfortable talking about because they tend to think that we are all French, either you're French or you're not. And among French people, they try not to make difference. But I'm constantly being asked where I'm from, how come I speak such a good French? And trying to say that openly is like, oh no, you're bringing an issue that doesn't belong to France. It's, you know, racism is in the US, it's elsewhere. But here in France, we are so universal, there are no such issues.
So, Rokaya, you made a documentary about French and American anti-racism activism, literally translating from the French. The doc was called From Paris to Ferguson, Guilty of Being Black, though in English it's titled Not Your Mama's Movement. What are a couple of things that activists in France and the U.S. can learn from each other?
The thing I really think that France could learn from the U.S. is the way U.S. has handled a way of speaking about race. You know, you have vocabulary, you have words, you have departments in university that are dedicated to race. That's something that doesn't exist in France. But on the other side, I think that in France, we have a way of mixing together that doesn't exist to me in the US. I see that groups.
You mean people of color mixing with, you know,
yes,
white
people, yeah, white people. Yeah. It's something very common in France that I don't see that much in the US. And I have the feeling that there is much more segregation, spatial segregation, but also in friendships, in couples, you know, people seem separated to me. So that's something that seems much easier in France, and maybe something that the Americans could learn from France.
I want to end with a story that's in the news that's related to all of this, and that is Minel Ibtissem, a young woman who was a huge success on the French edition of the TV show The Voice. She sang Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen in French, and Arabic got almost a million hits on YouTube. But she quit the show because there was so much public outrage about a tweet she had posted some time ago suggesting, "We don't know all the facts about the truck attack in Nice in July of 2016, and maybe the French government," she suggested, "might be silent on more details about it." So she's now off the show. Is this an example of intolerance for free speech, or did she go too far?
The thing is that Menel wears a headscarf. She's Muslim. And the first thing that outraged people was the fact that she was visibly Muslim. So they started to search on her social media because of how she looked. And the posts that she made were not on Twitter, but on her private Facebook. I don't say that it makes them good, but it's not the same thing. When you speak to your private community, you don't say the same things as when you speak publicly. And I think that many young French people believe in conspiracy theories. It's something that is, to me, that needs to be addressed, but she's not the only one. So I think that, yeah, she's been a victim of Islamophobia, because if she wasn't visibly Muslim, nobody would have even had the idea of searching into her Facebook profile.
Rokaya Diallo, a French journalist, filmmaker, and activist, thanks very much for being with us. It's great to meet you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.